The following program, Mind Over Matters, is sponsored by TCFIHAW LLC, and to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio or its management. Experience a full mind, body, and spirit approach to living your best life. Learn how to achieve optimal health, wealth, and happiness. This is your journey to wellness and abundance. You are listening to Mind Over Matters with your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen of the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness.
Everyone, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen. As you know, I'm a double board certified integrative clinical psychologist with a postgraduate specialization in functional health and wellness. I'm also a certified wellness instructor, best-selling author and speaker, and the director of the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness. I'm so glad you've decided to join me on today's show. So many of you know that the purpose of this show is to get you thinking about how powerful your mind is and what you can do right now to change your mind and change your life. So I want to challenge you to think differently about how every aspect of your life can be improved, taking that holistic approach, as I like to say. Your health, your relationships, your happiness, even your financial health can all be dramatically changed. They can be improved by taking this overarching view of your life and then looking at what area you want to move your life forward. And so my goal is to educate and empower you to live a life by design, a life on purpose and with passion and with positive results. So again, welcome to the show. So I want to start out by asking, are you one of those people who is constantly checking their phone? Maybe you're glued to your laptop or your tablet, or you think you just can't live without, quote unquote, staying connected. How much of your time, health, and happiness is dependent on tech? Or is tech robbing you of your health, your time, your happiness? So on this show, I'm going to talk about the ugly truth as it relates to our tech addiction and the social, emotional, and physical health risks associated with constantly being plugged in. So I'll also share with you what you can do right now to take control of your tech, your time, and your health. So I'm kind of reminded, you know, tech is everywhere, right? It wasn't that long ago, really, that, you know, we didn't have tablets, we didn't have desktop computers. I know I'm probably aging myself, but kind of reminds me of the 50s and 60s, you know, when smoking was everywhere, right? Offices, restaurants, airplanes, hospitals, you know, it was just the thing. It was completely sexy and just completely the norm. But now, you know, when we look at somebody smoking, even smoking outside of a restaurant or a workplace building, you know, some of us are just, you know, shocked, you know, that something obviously so toxic is still so widely accepted and promoted as still something, you know, cool. But isn't that the same thing with our tech? Ask yourself, where's your smartphone right now? You know, mine is in my car while I do the show, because I don't want to be interrupted. But if you're like most Americans, it's usually within 5 feet of you. And for many, it's usually right next to where their hand is. And for the millennials, I think it's an extension. It's a new appendage. But regardless of the time of day, you're probably, you know, within reach of your cell phone. You know, I was talking to my family last night. My sister and brother-in-law came in, and we were talking about something, and there was a question which led to a bet, and then all of a sudden, you know, two of us just reached for our cell phone to check it out, and, you know, immediately, you know, went to Google it and see what the answer was. But it struck me as, you know, I was thinking about recording today's show, that here was our cell phone, you know, right at our fingertips. Well, 75% of Americans now own a smartphone, and 95% own a cell phone of some kind. And the same people who eschewed cigarettes because of their health risks might not think twice about driving down a highway at 60 miles an hour or 70 or maybe even 85 miles an hour with their eyes locked on that tiny telephone screen. You know, we sleep with our phones beside us. I can't tell you how many children and adolescents I see in my practice who have parenting conflicts over giving up their phone at night. It's crazy, and it's everywhere. You know, they're often the last thing we see before closing our eyes at night. You know, especially many of us use them as an alarm, right? We want to set the alarm for the morning, but, you know, we're reaching for our phones. So they're usually right beside us. They're often the last thing we see before we close our eyes and the first thing we reach for in the morning. You know, I'm also reminded, I was talking to my sister, and she asked what the show was on, and I told her it is titled The Hidden Tech Addiction, Getting Your Fix. And then she went on to tell me a story about her grandchild and my great grandnephew. He's three. He's the cutest thing ever. Of course, you know, I'm biased because he's my great nephew. But she went on to tell me that he knows so much about tech that it's crazy. He knows exactly how to log into her phone, although she's not showed him. And he's changed all the settings. He's updated contacts. He's changed the screen colors specific to different contacts. And he definitely knows how to navigate his way around the internet. And he is YouTube addicted, she said. In fact, you know, when his dad or his mom go to take the phone away, he'll often pitch a fit because he's so glued to that screen. And I know I see this a lot in our practice too, that, you know, when I'm meeting with a parent and there's children, or especially if there's a toddler, they'll get them set up on a little tablet or they'll give them their phone. And within seconds, those kids are literally in a hypnotic trance. In fact, research shows that children go into a hypnotic trance in under 30 seconds. For most of us adults, under 2 minutes, but they are really transfixed. And it is becoming an addiction, especially when we get upset, we get angry, or it's resulting in family conflict, you know, because we're reluctant to give up our phone. So it is a widespread problem. We don't realize it, but it is. And I'm guilty of it, too. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I found myself at a stoplight grabbing for my phone, checking an email or responding to a text. I mean, at least I'm a little bit more responsible now, and I'll do it, you know, at a stoplight, or I'll pull over or set the settings on my phone to say, you know, I can't respond, I'm driving right now. Again, it's the first thing we see in the morning. It's the last thing typically that we, you know, see at night. And the average American adult spends more than 3 hours a day engaging with his or her smartphone. That's probably an underestimate. You know, I think I heard a stat, I don't know, a year or two ago, that most Americans, if you're scheduled for an eight-hour workday, most Americans are only working about four of those hours, because the other 4 hours are spent around the water cooler, or they're checking their email, or they're texting, they're on their smartphone, they're on social media. So when I read the stats about, you know, the average adult American spending more than 3 hours on their smartphone, I wonder if that's actually an underestimate. And it's interesting to note that the iPhone is only 10 years old, but yet doesn't it seem like it's been around forever, for decades? You know, author Dr. Larry Rosen, he wrote the book called Eye Disorder, and he's the co-author of the book Distracted Mind. He said that within that time, within the last 10 years, we've gone from excitement to obsession. And I would say that's true. I was seeing somebody a couple of summers ago, and she explained to me early on that, you know, she needs to stay connected for work. She worked for a company that had offices globally, and I was pretty cool with it for a while. But literally, more than half the time that we were together, I would say that she was on her phone. You know, and I'm a pretty patient person, but I got to the point, you know, where I politely asked, you know, could we put our phones away and just enjoy dinner? Or could we put our phones away and just enjoy the movie? And she would get irritated, and it blew my mind just how much she was obsessed with her tech. It definitely was, you know, an inhibiting factor to us being able to enjoy the time we spent together. But don't we see that everywhere we go, right? At a restaurant, I like to joke that, you know, two teenagers are on a date, and they're sitting across from each other, and rather than having a conversation out loud, they're texting each other the conversation. But that's not far off from the truth. So the obsession comes with significant cost to our health, our relationships, our ability to learn, our memory, our mood. And, you know, it's at the expense of fully experiencing our lives. That's why I said it's a thief. How much of your time or health or happiness has it stolen from you? So, you know, I think we're going to look back someday at the screen infatuation with disbelief, as we do now with smoking, and just shake our heads at the, you know, the historical images of the restaurant tables full of people staring at their devices in their hands, right? Stick around. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the hidden tech addiction, getting your fix.
Want vibrant health, more energy, improved weight loss, or even better sleep than you've had in years? TI-22 Nutrition has you covered. We offer the best plant-based supplements in their purest form. Our supplements are combined in power packs to create a synergistic effect when taken together. TI-22 stands for titanium, and we are committed to helping you achieve optimal health. Order now. Visit TI22Nutrition.com. Stronger bodies, stronger minds.
Think Theory Radio.
We are joined by Norman Basil, paranormal investigator.
I don't really classify ghosts as being supernatural because ghosts are nothing more than human beings that have passed on. They don't realize they've passed on. They don't realize that they're dead. They may do these things to try to get the attention of people. They don't understand where they're at. Right? They're lost. They're in a realm between ours and the spiritual world.
Think Theory Radio with Damian Perdue, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on WCPT 820.
Everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. I'm an integrative clinical psychologist with a postgraduate specialty in functional health and wellness. You're listening to our show titled The Hidden Tech Addiction, Getting Your Fix. If you've missed any of the show, I want to invite you to check out the podcast. You can log on to this great station, or you can check us out online at thecifhw.com. Again, that website, thecifhw.com. We're going to be also posting it on our social media sites. So if you've got questions, I'd also invite you to send me an email, and you can do that at healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. I'd love your questions, your comments, your experiences. And if you want to, you know, I can even share them on the show. Just let me know. Again, that email address, healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. And speaking of your health and wellness, I want to ask if you're a thyroid patient on hormone therapy, but you're still suffering from maybe stubborn weight gain or fatigue, maybe it's depression or insomnia, maybe you're dealing with hair loss, I want to invite you out to our upcoming talk, Understanding and Resolving Thyroid Disorders, on Tuesday, May 7th at 6:30 p.m. We'll talk about the hidden problem of brain fog. I'll address questions if you're frustrated when your doctor tells you everything's okay just because your labs say they're okay, but you know they're not. I'm going to address those issues because if you're like 90% of the people, especially women with thyroid symptoms, you know everything's not okay. Or maybe you've not been giving the right test to find out the number one reason that people like you fail to get relief despite thyroid hormone therapy. So again, I want to invite you to Understanding and Reversing Thyroid Disorders. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 6:30 p.m. Seating is limited, so reservations are required. 630-980-1400. Again, 630-980-1400. And then we've got Resolving Depression and Anxiety with Transcranial Magnetic Stimulation, a groundbreaking treatment for depression and anxiety that's now been FDA approved for well over 10 years. If you are like a quarter of all Americans, you are currently dealing with depression and anxiety. Or if you're like most Americans, you've probably had a depression or an anxiety episode. And if you haven't benefited from antidepressants, because the truth is, some people do, most people don't, you know, by the time you're on your fourth antidepressant medication, at best, you're going to get a 7% reduction in symptoms. TMS might be the best, most viable alternative for you. So Resolving Depression and Anxiety with TMS, that is Tuesday, May 14th at 6:30 p.m. Again, seating is limited for that. It is a dinner talk, so please bring your appetite. I'm going to ask and answer plenty of questions. I'm going to debunk some myths about mental health, and I'm going to give you some options that could literally save your life, save your job, or save your marriage. So Resolving Depression and Anxiety with TMS, Tuesday, May 14th, 6:30 p.m., 630-980-1400. Again, 630-980-1400. So back to this hidden tech addiction, and I'm guilty. Right? I wouldn't say by any stretch of the imagination I'm guilty of being addicted to my tech. I think I'm really, really disciplined at work. Usually my phone is on silent and it's in my desk drawer, so I don't see it. A lot of times it's just out of sight, out of mind. I want to preserve that sacred space for myself and my clients. But you know, I'm certainly checking it regularly throughout the day. Again, I think our captivation with, you know, ever more sophisticated devices
also continues to blind us to the fact that they aren't really connecting us to anything but the screens themselves. You know, I was getting my eyes checked for my annual eye exam a couple weeks ago, and the optometrist suggested that I get, upgrade so I can get a filter on my lenses for the blue light from the screens. And blue light actually has been proven to be very, very dangerous. It disrupts us neuronally. It interferes with learning. It can make us irritable. So I'm like, all right, yeah, no doubt about it. Give me that blue screen. But even though our phones are cleverly designed to capture our attention, you know, we can still choose how much of our time we give them. One of the things I like about the new phones and the new tech is that there's apps now you can track your screen time. So, but then I'm thinking, if you're checking your screen time, you're probably spending more screen time checking your screen time, right? So it's kind of crazy. It's kind of circular. But okay, whatever. But here's the thing. Cell phones, they're addictive by design. I don't know how many of you know that, but they are designed to be addictive. Most of us have unconsciously reached for the phone right again at our stoplight or, you know, found our thumbs seemingly on their own will, right? The life of their own. Refreshing email, scrolling through social media. We've peeked at text messages while someone was speaking to us or felt antsy in a work meeting that just kept us, you know, from checking email. That's a sure sign of addiction, right? When you can't even pay attention long enough without being consumed by the thought that you've got to check your email or your text. But almost anyone with a smartphone suffers from some degree of technology addiction. And, you know, as with cigarettes, this is by design. It's not that we simply lack self-control, although some of it is, but our devices, our gadgets, our apps, our games, they're literally deliberately made to be addictive. Addiction actually is tied to the release of dopamine in the brain, one of our feel-good chemicals. And, it's interesting, Dr. Nicholas Kaderis, PhD author of Glow Kids, How Screen Addiction is Hijacking Our Kids and How to Break the Trance, says that the more dopamine an activity or substance triggers, the more addictive it is. So that feel-good hormone is being released in our brain, and it's stimulating that pleasure receptor. Our devices are designed to be dopaminergic, says Dr. Kaderis. And he cites a study showing that old-school non-immersive video games, for example, even those raise dopamine levels as high as sex does. He says that we're exposing people to the intensity of what's basically a digital orgasm, quote-unquote. But he says, unlike orgasms from sex, digital orgasms happen continuously because that pleasure center in our brain is continually being stimulated. And we're also wired to seek novelty. And the internet offers an infinite supply, says Dr. Peter Weibrow. He's the director of the Semmel Institute for Neuroscience and Human Behavior at UCLA. And he describes computers as quote unquote electronic cocaine. When seemingly everything is always available online, natural obstacles such as darkness, distance that once interrupted what he calls reward-seeking behaviors no longer apply. And it's interesting to note, too, how many of us just let our obsession with tech run away from us. Even Tony Fadell, who helped develop the iPhone, believes that we need to address our tech addiction. He said that he asked, would you give your kids cigarettes? He asked the audience at last fall's Mindfulness in America conference. You know, would you keep a bottle of alcohol next to your bed? He asked. Likewise, he suggested we need to treat our phones if they were one of those substances, because they are. They're highly addictive. So there are four things that tech exploits to play to our addictive tendencies. And I think this may surprise you. The first thing is what we refer to as randomized rewards. So our apps and devices operate on the same principle as slot machines. And slot machines actually have what's called a variable intermittent ratio. That simply stated says, you know, after a certain number of pulls, there's going to be a payoff, but you don't know what the pulls are. They're kind of random. They're random and they're intermittent. But that is that type of reward schedule is the most addictive. That's why, you know, it's easy for people to create gambling addictions, especially on slot machines. So our apps and devices operate on the same principle as slot machines, delivering rewards on a random but intermittent schedule. They keep us hoping, for instance, that the next scan of the email inbox or Facebook feed could reveal an interesting message or headline. Right? The digital jackpot, as it's sometimes referred to. It rarely occurs, but we're hooked, mollified by smaller rewards, a validating tweet or a Facebook like or a new email that just pops up. So these randomized rewards keep us hooked in, right? And again, I'm not, you know, an innocent here. I'm probably checking my email once an hour at least. Part of that is work email, but, you know, I'm the same thing. Anything new. And then we get upset. We get angry. It's like, why didn't they return a text? You know, I just sent them a text. Why didn't you respond to my email? As though we're entitled to an immediate response. But it is designed that way for us to be addicted to text. And then when we don't get our fix, we get irritable. And it, you know, leads into this sense of entitlement, like, well, why haven't they responded? You know, what's up? So it's quite telling. And I'm happy to share with you, you know, some of the ways you can break your addiction. So stick around. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the hidden tech addiction, getting your fix.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
I was involved in a devastating head-on motorcycle accident, which left me broken, battered, and afraid. I turned to Dr. Amy and Associates to care for my broken body. With their help, I healed quickly. I was able to sleep, and the nightmare stopped. I was able to get back on the motorcycle without fear. Since they work with my insurance, I've used them for allergy and food sensitivity testing, weight loss, massage, acupuncture, and life coaching. They use both Eastern and Western medicine and is a holistic practice like no other. I am so grateful for Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit dramyandassociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Want vibrant health, more energy, improved weight loss, or even better sleep than you've had in years? TI-22 Nutrition has you covered. We offer the best plant-based supplements in their purest form. Our supplements are combined in power packs to create a synergistic effect when taken together. TI-22 stands for titanium, and we are committed to helping you achieve optimal health. Order now. Visit TI22Nutrition.com. Stronger bodies, stronger minds.
Everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. As you know, I'm a double board certified integrative clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. I want to thank you for tuning into our show today titled A Hidden Tech Addiction, Getting Your Fix. If you've missed any of the show, you can check a podcast out on this great station, WCPT AM 820. And I want to thank you for tuning in, because this is something that affects all of us, right? This hidden tech addiction. It can wreak havoc in our relationships, on the job. It can wreak havoc physically. So again, if you're just tuning in, welcome. If you've missed any of the show, you can check us out online at this great station for a podcast, or you can check us out at our website, thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. If you've got questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email at healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. Again, that email address, healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. And to that end, I want to invite you to our upcoming dinner with the doc titled Understanding and Reversing Thyroid Disorders. If you're one of the 90% of the people experiencing thyroid disorder and you know you're still not feeling well, I want to invite you to join me. We're going to be talking about how you can reverse that stubborn weight gain, that fatigue, the depression, the insomnia. We're going to be talking about how you can reverse your brain fog. I'll share with you why traditional tests and traditional interventions are failing to get your results. And so I'm going to help you debunk myth from, you know, the truth. So I want to invite you to Understanding and Reversing Thyroid Disorders. It's Tuesday, May 7th, 6:30 p.m. Seating is limited, so reservations are required. 630-980-1400. Again, 630-980-1400 to reserve your seat at Understanding and Reversing Thyroid Disorders. I hope you'll join me. So back to this tech addiction, right? As I said, you know, there are four things that tech exploits to play to our addictive tendencies. The first one is that randomized rewards. Every time we, you know, did somebody text us? Did they send us an email? What's happening on social media? The second way that our addictive tendencies are exploited is the endless sources of information. Again, last night here, I find myself trying to win a bet and going online, right? I GTS'd it, right? I Googled that stuff. just to see if I won the bet. But endless sources of information. A recent study found that people who ate soup from self-filling, quote-unquote, bottomless bowls consumed 73% more than those eating from normal-sized containers. And they don't report greater satisfaction, however, and they substantially underestimated how much they had eaten. It's the picture of mindless consumption, right? In fact, when we eat while we're watching TV, we're inclined to eat 23% more food because we're just eating unconsciously, right? It's because the food is there, not because it fulfills a need or delivers any more pleasure. But most of us require some kind of cue to stop consuming, and that means tech-wise, too. But our devices provide, you know, no such limits. Scrolling doesn't have any breaks. It's up to us or someone getting pissed at us, you know, to draw our attention to the, you know, the need to put the phone down. And it's interesting that Instagram and other apps might show only, you know, one like at a time, which keeps us checking and checking and checking. Snapchat, for example, capitalizes on users' loyalty to their friends by turning their conversations into streaks that they don't want to break, which guarantees traffic. Those clever bleepity bleeps. Facebook, too. Facebook uses an ever-evolving algorithm that tracks every like, every comment, and click so it can predict what kinds of posts are most likely to keep users reading and feeds them accordingly. It literally is. They're feeding us, right? Even some former Facebook employees who helped develop the like button acknowledge its power to override self-control, and they've begun to impose limits on their own engagement with it, right? And then third, you know, this third factor that plays into our addictive tendencies is validation and approval. And that's core for all of us. One of our three core needs is acceptance and belonging. And so our need for validation and approval plays into our addictive tendencies as well. In fact, a 2014 New York Times story reported that Facebook users were spending 39,757 collective years on the platform each day. Can you imagine? All Facebook users collectively each day spend almost 40,000 years on that platform every day. How much of our life is being stolen online? So when we're there, we spend a lot of time liking things, photos, articles, status updates, recipes, videos, brands. Luckily, I've got really great friends and family that know I'm really not tech savvy and I'm rarely on social media. And they'll say, oh, did you check it out? I posted it on Facebook. They're like, no. And then they'll chuckle. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't know how that stuff works. And, you know, it's OK. I don't mind. You know, at least I'm not getting robbed of my life being online all the time. But we don't seem to actually like spending our time this way, which is interesting. Addiction research reveals that wanting something doesn't necessarily mean enjoying it. And in his book titled Irresistible, The Rise of Addictive Technology and the Business of Keeping Us Hooked, New York University marketing professor Adam Alter describes a study of drug addiction performed by neuroscientist Kent Berridge, PhD. He said that addicts weren't people who happened to like the drugs they were taking. They were people who wanted those drugs very badly, even as they grew to dislike them, right? How many of us have met somebody that they struggle with an addiction, but they're repulsed by it because it wreaks so much havoc on their life, yet the addiction is so strong. You know, what makes addiction so difficult to treat is that wanting is much harder to defeat than liking, right? Studies have found that Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat rank high among apps that leave people feeling unhappy after their use. And it seems that the longer we engage with these apps, the worse we feel. And this can be the difficult concept for people to grasp. It's like, you know, why would I still, you know, be online if it's just leaving me feeling bad? So how can we continue to want something we don't like and continue to engage in destructive behavior that's not even pleasurable? It's interesting. Actually, psychotherapist Nancy Collier, author of The Power of Off, The Mindful Way to Stay Sane in a Virtual World, she maintains that we keep hoping that the next pull of the lever will hit the jackpot, right? It's unlikely, though, that we'll find satisfaction we're seeking online. She says that looking for happiness on our devices is like trying to open a lock with a banana. It's just not going to work, right? So, kind of a weird analogy, but whatever. It's a quote. She said that what we need to create well-being and a life well-lived can't be satisfied through technology, she explains. You know, we're feeding our inner reptile, that part of us that loves to anesthetize, that's what technology feeds so well, and not the more evolved parts of ourselves. Because reasonably, we know we should be off our tech. We know we should be setting limits and getting back to work or attending to that conversation at dinner with a loved one or being considerate, in some sort of other social exchange. So that's the reasonable thing. But the truth is we are primarily emotional beings, and most of our day-to-day functioning, 90% of it is emotional. And a lot of that is driven by what we call our reptilian brain, our pleasure seeker, right? And then this fourth aspect of addiction is a sense of connection that kind of goes with number three, validation and approval. We all want to belong somewhere, to find community, to share and connect. And this connection is what technology promises. You know, I have a client who is struggling with her daughter. They argue almost every night over the phone. And this daughter was being bullied at her school, so she reached out online and started finding friends in other communities at other schools. They're virtual friends, and this is a real struggle for my client and my client's daughter because that need for belonging and acceptance is so strong. It actually puts people at risk, right? How desperate is that? That's kind of sad that you reach out to people online that you don't even know. But I get it, feeling lonely and feeling alienated. I totally get it. It's one of our core basic needs. But this sense of connection literally sets us up to be addicted to our tech. So stick around. When we come back, I'm going to be talking more about the sense of connection and how it feeds into this addiction. And then I'm going to be sharing with you the health risks of tech addiction. So stick around. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen. We'll be right back.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
I was involved in a devastating head-on motorcycle accident, which left me broken, battered, and afraid. I turned to Dr. Amy and Associates to care for my broken body. With their help, I healed quickly. I was able to sleep, and the nightmare stopped. I was able to get back on the motorcycle without fear. Since they worked with my insurance, I've used them for allergy and food sensitivity testing, weight loss, massage, acupuncture, and life coaching. They use both Eastern and Western medicine and is a holistic practice like no other. I am so grateful for Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit dramyandassociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Want vibrant health, more energy, improved weight loss, or even better sleep than you've had in years? TI-22 Nutrition has you covered. We offer the best plant-based supplements in their purest form. Our supplements are combined in power packs to create a synergistic effect when taken together. TI-22 stands for titanium, and we are committed to helping you achieve optimal health. Order now. Visit TI22Nutrition.com. Stronger bodies, stronger minds.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen. I'm a double board certified clinical integrative psychologist with a postgraduate specialization in functional health and wellness. I'm also an author and speaker and the director of the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness. We're glad you're joining us today. If you've missed any of the show, you can check a podcast out on this great station, or you can check us out online at the CIFHW. CIFHW.com. Again, thecifhw.com. If you've got questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me an email directly at healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. Again, healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. So I started the show by asking, are you one of those people who is constantly checking your phone? You know, maybe you're glued to your laptop or your tablet, or you think you just can't live without staying connected? How much of your time, health, and happiness, you know, is your dependence on tech stealing from you? So on this show, I'm talking about the ugly truth as it relates to our tech addiction and the social, emotional, and physical health risks associated with constantly being plugged in. I'm also going to be sharing with you what you can do right now to take control of your tech, your time, and your health. So we left off the last segment talking about the four things that tech exploits to play to our addictive tendencies. The first one was randomized rewards, right? We're constantly checking who texted us. Did we get new emails? You know, what's happening on Facebook? The second addictive tendency is this endless source of information. It's like a bottomless pit. Even though it's not rewarding and it doesn't leave us feeling good about what we've, you know, been seeking online, or and it certainly doesn't leave us feeling good about ourselves, we're endlessly searching streams of information. And that third addictive tendency is our need for validation and approval, right? And then fourth, this sense of connection. Again, it's hardwired into us. We want to belong. As human beings, we have this primal fear of isolation and not being a part of the group, which is tantamount to extinction. I mean, literally, if you think about it, in prehistoric times, if we weren't part of a group or a tribe, we probably wouldn't survive. And you've heard me say that on other shows. So our sense of connection and belonging, it's hardwired into us. You know, we don't need it to survive anymore, but we certainly need to be connected emotionally to be able to thrive. So technology is, you know, cleverly being marketed to elicit this fear of, oh my God, if I don't have this app or device, I won't be part of the group. How many times do you hear that, right, with your kids, your adolescents? They need the latest version of the smartphone, otherwise they're not cool, right? And it's interesting to know, I do have several parents that I see that are really, really good at, you know, not letting their kids have phones until they are responsible enough to manage it, and then are honest about managing the parental settings as well. It's really cool. I totally give those parents props. But I get it, though, if you're a busy parent, you're working, or you've got, you know, more than one child, and you just need a break, and you need them to be preoccupied or busy doing something while you're trying to get dinner ready or whatever. I totally get that. I think we all do the best that we can. And again, most of us don't realize that our tech is designed to be addictive. But with most addictions, compulsive use has really, really big consequences. You may lose your job. You can lose your relationship, your place in the community. But when tech is the drug, the opposite is true. Compulsive use can make you feel like an insider. What's going on? What happened at the meeting, you know? And you may fear that your status, relationships, and career will suffer if you moderate your social media presence or delay your response to every text, message, and email. So many people fail to get stuff done because they spend way too much time checking their email. So one of the things I suggest to my clients is, set yourself up and let people know that you have good boundaries. Set boundaries for yourself, set boundaries with others. And you can be polite. You just simply say, I check my email twice a day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. If I don't get back to you today, you can expect a response from me tomorrow. And, you know, people will balk at the idea at first, but once they start doing it, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe how much time I'm saving. And you know what? People actually, you know, they understand. I'm like, sure they're going to understand because you set them up. You told them, listen, if I don't get back to you today, you can bet I'm going to get back to you tomorrow. So many of us have grown afraid, though, that if we don't continually tell the world who we are, as everyone else is doing, that we're going to become invisible and irrelevant. And we certainly see this on the business front, right? It's like, oh, you don't have a business Facebook page, or you're not on social media, you're going to be irrelevant. So tech doesn't play to our good senses. It plays to our fears very often. And if this happens, our very sense of self is called into question for a lot of people. Our life has become something, you know, we use to advertise our identity. And I get it. It's the brand, right? I totally get it. You know, it's a blessing and a curse. But, you know, there are health risks of tech addiction. Our smartphone obsession may seem to be relatively benign, especially when compared with habits like smoking or drinking or other drug use. But its effect on our well-being is significant. Here's an example. Remember, I told you I was going to talk about the health risk of tech addictions. The nervous system is on overdrive. You know, we look like we have obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, the average person checks his or her phone every 15 minutes or less, even without notifications. And this affects our health. When we're in this constant state of anxiety, our systems are flooded with that fight or flight chemical, cortisol being one of them, right? And that's actually a fat storing hormone. So when we're constantly on overdrive, our stress hormones are just going like crazy. And the ceaseless cycle of cortisol and dopamine can make us, you know, what we call tired and wired, simultaneously hyperstimulated and exhausted at the same time. In fact, 90% of women over 40 have some degree of adrenal fatigue. And certainly screen is playing into that. How about this? Disrupted sleep. Hyperstimulation is just one effect of our smartphones that harm our sleep quality. Many people go to bed with their phones beside them, making it easy to succumb to the blue glow of that screen until we close our eyes. And the blue light disrupts our circadian rhythms. Those are our hormones that circulate over 24 hours, you know, especially our sleep and wake hormones, it tricks our bodies into thinking it's daytime, which leads to sleep disturbance. And then you add in the temptation to check your phone during the night, and you have ingredients for a poor night's sleep, and ultimately you're setting yourself up for chronic illness, because sleep is about tissue repair, storing information, and when our sleep is constantly interrupted, it just sets us up for illness. You know, even though we power down our devices so they can reboot, we need to do the same for ourselves, right? Just power down at night. Set yourself up for a good night's sleep, because without it, you're not going to be as productive during the day. You're more likely to be irritable or hypersensitive. You're more likely to make mistakes. Again, talk about productivity, not likely to happen. And then we've got this thing with scattered attention, right? It's interesting. In 2000, the average person's attention span was 12 seconds. By 2015, it had dropped to 8 seconds. A goldfish actually has an attention span of 9 seconds. That's crazy, Lady B. That's just crazy. Bleepity bleep. Right, a goldfish has a longer attention span than the average American now. In fact, I read something the other day. We were thinking about billboard advertising, and some articles said that the average American attention span is now 6 seconds. Wow, that is totally scattered and sad. As we continue to distract ourselves in the quest for novelty and stimulation, we're hindering actually the next generation's cognitive abilities as well. I was talking about my nephew, sweet, sweet, sweet boy, but his brain is being hyperstimulated all the time. You know, it's interesting to note that one study found that infants' attention spans suffer when their caregivers' eyes wander to smartphones and other tech distractions during playtime, which may impair their capacity for language acquisition and problem solving. Wow. And then how about this? I talked about this on an earlier segment, faulty connection with others. An ad for the latest version of the Apple Watch proudly declares that you can now, quote unquote, stay connected even when you're away from your phone. Wow, that's sad. Even our mobile phones are no longer mobile enough. You know, we fear being disconnected even for a moment. But the very benefit this technology promises, connection, suffers most from our addiction. People fight about it all the time. That's crazy. One famous study showed that the mere presence of a cell phone diminished the quality of conversation and subjective experience of trust, empathy, and closeness between two people discussing a meaningful topic. Just having your phone on the table interferes with that level of intimacy and trust, because we're social animals, and we think it's a cure-all that's going to keep us connected, but depression rates are skyrocketing. We've been sold this false narrative that it's connecting us, and we've been lulled by how amazing these devices are, but they don't fully vet the dark side. Actually, as connected as we are, we're pretty disconnected, because we're tuning out of people, we're tuning out of intimate relationships, and we're tuning in to tech, and that, you know, and that is one of the ways it's stealing your happiness. It's stealing your time. It's undermining your relationships. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the hidden tech addiction and getting your fix.
Want vibrant health, more energy, improved weight loss, or even better sleep than you've had in years? TI-22 Nutrition has you covered. We offer the best plant-based supplements in their purest form. Our supplements are combined in power packs to create a synergistic effect when taken together. TI-22 stands for titanium, and we are committed to helping you achieve optimal health. Order now. Visit TI22Nutrition.com. Stronger bodies, stronger minds.
The Hal Sparks radio program.
There was no family separation under Obama. There was a separation of some children from the people who brought them over until they could be ascertained that they were actually family in some cases. Stephen Miller and Donald John Trump used that lack of specificity in the law, weaponized it, separated children, and never had a plan to reconnect those children with their parents.
Hal Sparks, Saturdays from 11 to 1 on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen. You're listening to our show titled A Hidden Tech Addiction, Getting Your Fix. If you've missed any of the show, you can check out rebroadcast our podcast on this great station. You can certainly check us out online at thecifhw.com for a podcast. Again, thecifhw.com. If you've got questions, comments, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email at healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. Again, healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. And so, you know, I started the show asking if you're one of the people who is constantly checking your phone. Maybe you're glued to your laptop or tablet all the time. You feel like you just can't live without staying connected. You know, and much of your time, health, and happiness is dependent on your tech, right? So we're talking about how to take control back. We're talking about the ugly truth as it relates to our tech addiction and the social, emotional, and physical risk associated with being plugged in. And now I want to share with you what you can do to take control of your tech, your time, your health, and your happiness. So let's dive right in. You've got to, one, first control your tech so it doesn't control you. So technology addiction presents this unique challenge because abstinence isn't really an option for most of us. You know, most of us now have to be online for work. We have to check our email. You know, if you've got something, you know, like an IM, you know, in your office, you have to be checking that. But from a treatment perspective, we approach technology addiction kind of like an eating disorder. You can live a happy life abstinent from drugs and alcohol, but you can't do that with food, for example, right? And it's probably unrealistic to think that we can be abstinent from tech. I mean, unless you're like someone that's totally living off grid. But even if you're off grid, you've got a reality show, so you're probably checking your ratings, right? But the key is to develop a healthy self-concept and a healthier, more balanced, conscious relationship with your devices. This means setting consistent boundaries and sticking with them. This really means you have to honor yourself and honor the people you're with, right? But for, you know, an intensely tech-addicted teenage client, it's especially tough, right? You know, some therapists recommend regular sessions in a sensory deprivation tank even, and extended periods in nature without access to screens. Because these help counteract the teen's state of hyperactivation and reset an overstimulated adrenal system. And for the rest of us, a range of techniques, both technological and analog, can help us regain a sense of control over our tech use as well. So I want to just say, I was talking to a parent yesterday, no, it was last week, and she was telling me that she's sending her daughter away to camp for 4 weeks, and there's absolutely no tech involved. I was like, oh my God, that's great. That's taking it way back to old school. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? And I'm like, I said, she is going to have one of the best summers of her life because she's going to be truly connecting with people. It's awesome. But the first thing you have to do is first do an appraisal. Fight fire with fire by downloading an app such as Moment that measures your tech use. Again, don't keep going on it to measure it, but it could be helpful. It tracks how much time you spend looking at your screen and which apps you use the most. And once you've acknowledged the reality of your current use, and again, as they say, that's always the first step, right? You can set a goal for cutting back, and this app can help with that as well. Secondly, second part of taking control of your tech is to institute tech breaks. Dr. Rosen suggests that deliberately scheduling time for tech use, you know, he says, imagine you're a student studying, he says, and then try this. Allow yourself 1 minute to look at anything on your phone or your computer, and then close, not just minimize, but close out any programs or apps not required for your primary task. Silence your phone and set an alarm for 15 minutes. And when the alarm goes off, look at anything you want for 1 minute, then repeat the cycle. You're basically setting up yourself to be rewarded by checking your tech every 15 minutes. And as you become more focused, increase the tech-free time to 20 or 30 minutes or longer. There's an app, Self-Control. Self-Control and other apps that allow you to block tempting websites for a predetermined length of time could also add an extra layer of defense. And then establish tech-free zones and times. I've got a family that, you know, when they sit down for dinner, all of their phones go in a basket in their kitchen. It's awesome, because then that way they're just connecting. All right. So mindful screen usage is when you're not just reflectively reaching for your phone. You can encourage that by creating screen-free time in your day. And that's what I do when I put my phone in my desk, right? So consider strategies such as, one, institute a no tech policy during mealtimes. I recommend couples do this. Go tech-free for a day, and they're like, what? How will I ever survive? I'm like, do you want your relationship to survive? Well, yeah, well, consider going tech-free, because if you don't, that's going to undermine, you know, your intimacy. And then set aside blocks of time when you don't use technology, such as 2 hours before bed. That's a great way to take control back of your health and move your mind and your body and your nighttime hormones into the, you know, into that mode of rest. And then designate specific areas such as the kitchen table and the couch where you wind down with your family, your spouse, or whatever during the evening as device-free zones, right? So a good idea. And then practice what's called a tech Sabbath, as they say, a day without devices, at least once a week. You'd be amazed how much this when you tune out of tech and tune into you or tune into your mind or your body or relationship, wow, life just gets sweeter. And then take a broader view. When you understand how your brain works, you become more aware of your impulses and more able to consciously control your behavior. And this kind of self-awareness is key to kicking addictions. So the next time you reach for your phone to record a concert or snap a pic of your lunch, see if you can step back. Ask yourself if having that photo or video will really be valuable to you later. You know, because all of us, right, we tend to post it on Facebook and we probably will never come back to it. But observe whether it's detracting from your ability to be present and to fully savor your life as it's happening. I'm not someone who's snapping a lot of pictures all the time. I'm usually someone who's in the moment. I'll snap some, don't get me wrong. But I'm not constantly in my phone taking pictures or video recording. I want to be present in the moment, and I would recommend that you do the same too. So you see movement in your brain, you know, it just wants to record it. But you know, you think you'll have it for posterity, but you're not experiencing your life when you're experiencing it through a lens, right? You're losing the moment. Awareness is really a refuge. So rather than immediately indulging, you know, press pause and just, you know, ask, you know, what would I have to feel right now if I didn't use my phone? Would my experience be sweeter? Most likely. So a lot of experts urge their clients struggling with unhealthy relationship with their devices to contemplate larger questions like, what do I really want in my life? If human interactions are important, you can make choices that reflect and support that, such as keeping your phone out of sight when you're with people you care about. A lot of it comes back to the very small habits. You know, where am I putting my attention, my energy? Because those are the building blocks of our lives. And if you're putting your attention and your energy primarily in your tech, then you're losing sight of the other important aspects of your life, your health, your commitments to your family, the commitment to your partner or spouse, your commitment to your employer. So really think about where you're spending your time. You know, I gave a presentation a couple weeks ago to a business group, and I said, reevaluate your priorities. If tech is one of your priorities and it's getting in the way of your work or your family relationships or your health, really reevaluate that. I said, the first thing to know is, you know, you can always tell where your priorities are by where you're spending your time. And if you're spending, you know, on average 3 hours of your day plugged into your phone, then that's the priority. You know, we don't get a whole lot of waking hours. Most of it's at work, and we get, you know, precious few with family after work. So really reevaluate your priorities. Look at how much time you're spending on your phone or your computer or your tablet, and really think about what's important. Is your health important? Is your happiness important? Is it important to you to take control of your time back and take control of your life? If it is, I invite you to take that tech Sabbath. Take one day out of your week just to reconnect. Take time out of your evening just to put your phone down and connect. You know, when I sit down to eat with my partner, our phones are always away from us. We just want to, and we'll put it on silent too. We just want to connect and enjoy each other's company. So again, if you're someone that you know you need to kind of get a handle on it, it doesn't have to be difficult. Just commit to looking at what your priorities are, taking control back, right? Do that appraisal, institute tech breaks, establish tech-free zones and times within your work day, within your family time. Take that broader view of your life and really commit to making a change, because once you do, you'll see that the sweetness and the rewards and the pleasures of tuning into you and tuning into your life are so much better, so much sweeter than anything you can ever get by tuning into tech. So tune out and tune into you. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen.
The preceding program, Mind Over Matters, was sponsored by TCFIHAW LLC and, to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio or its management.